Sometimes we forget about the unseen hand. I remember one time, Brother Lee, I was young and driving too fast, hit a hole on the side of the road and hydroplaned off and hit a telephone pole. But what I didn't know was an unseen hand. It cut the telephone pole in half. I hit the pole so hard that my elbow sunk across and hit the guy that was my friend, my best friend, hit him right in the face. And that was the only scratch that we had on us. Totaled the car out, totaled everything out. Let me tell you what I didn't know about. I didn't know about an unseen hand that when I was about to hit that pole, I feel this in all my life and all my heart, that God Himself reached down and said, that boy is not saved yet, and I got something better for him down the road, and I couldn't see it, and I didn't know about it, but there was an unseen hand that reached down by my side and protected both of us from death and hell and destruction whenever we was heading straight off and diving straight into it. The unseen hand of God stepped right in between it, and later on down the road, I got saved. Called me to preach, and I praise His name this morning. I thank Him for what He's doing in our church. I thank Him for what He's doing in our heart. I think we got a God in heaven who's sitting, we got a Jesus who's sitting on the right hand of the Father in heaven that knows what His children are going through, and we're going through it. He's right by our side. He said He'd never leave us nor forsake us, and I'm glad He's right there by me every step of the way. And when I couldn't walk, He carried me. I praise His name this morning for that. Hallelujah to His name. It's dangerous up here this morning. There's a lot of liberty up here this morning. I'll tell you that. It's dangerous up here. Thank God for the Holy Ghost of God. Let me tell you what the Holy Ghost of God does. He makes everything new. He'll make your marriage new. He'll make your church new. He'll make your living new. He'll make you marriage that you're about to walk out on. You know what He'll do? He'll turn it around. He'll make it new. For things that are falling apart, you know what He's there to do? He's there to pick it up. When it's broken pieces is what God's willing to use. And let me tell you what I was. I was a mess and I was broken up. But God, through His sovereignty and through His grace, reached down and got me out of hell, got me out of everything. And let me tell you, whatever I walk through today, He's there by my side. He said He'd never leave us nor forsake us. The unseen hand of God. You may leave this church today. You may not know it, but I'm going to tell you who's riding by your side, and that's Jesus. And I don't want to take Him for granted this morning. If you have your Bible this morning, turn to the book of John, chapter number 4. The book of John, chapter number 4. I don't know where this will go, but we'll start there and we'll figure out where it's supposed to go. I just want to throw myself up to the Holy Ghost and yield myself to Him each and every day of my life. John chapter number 4, begin reading in verse number 1. It says, "When therefore the Lord knew how the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, though Jesus Himself baptized not, but His disciples, He left Judea and departed again unto Galilee." Verse 4. "And He must needs go through Samaria." I want to stop right there for just one second. It said He must needs go through Samaria. Don't think it take it too lightly that Jesus stepped out from where He was and came to where you was because He needed to. Not because of you. Nothing you would ever be, nothing you'd ever do, but because God Himself loved us and He would step out of the way and He'd part through land that He didn't have to go through, and He'd come by your side and call your name and you'd surrender to Him through the Holy Ghost and He'd draw you out of this place. And I thank God that He drew me by His marvelous grace, and He must needs one day go through Roanoke, Alabama on April the 8th, 1998, and He saved my soul in the front row of Faith Baptist Church in Roanoke, Alabama, and I'm indebted to Him for that, because He must needs go through Samaria. You see, there's a woman there that needs something there in Samaria. Somebody in here today needs something. And He must needs pass through Liberty Baptist Church this morning that He may touch somebody and He may do something special for somebody. I think a lot of times we take things for granted. But let me tell you what God, when we come to church, God Himself is walking through these aisles, up and down every pew, each and every heart, and He's ministering only like He can. And somebody think, well, it may be the preacher, it may be the Sunday school teacher, but it's not. It's God Himself giving a word, and that word's meant for His children, and that word can only do what it can do in your life if you're here. Thank God for that. He must needs go through Samaria. Verse number 5, it says, "Then cometh he to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near to the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about the sixth hour. There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus saith unto her, Give me to drink. For his disciples were gone away to the city to buy meat. Then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, How is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans." Verse 10, "Jesus answered and said unto her, If thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith unto thee, Give me to drink, thou wouldest ask of him, and he would have given thee living water. The woman saith unto him, Sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which giveth us the well, and drank thereof himself, and his children, and his cattle?" Verse 13, "Jesus saith unto her, Whosoever drinketh this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water I shall give unto him shall be a well of water springing up into everlasting life." Let us pray. Father, I need your help this morning, Lord. Lord, I pray, Lord, I throw myself up to the Holy Ghost, Lord. That I throw myself up to the Holy Ghost as well, Lord. Lord, that you know the needs of each person here. Lord, you know my needs, Lord God. Lord, I pray, Lord, that you give something special to somebody's life today through this, Lord. I pray, Lord, for my pastor as he preaches the next hour, Lord, that you'd help that service, Lord God. Lord, we just thank you for what you're going to do. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I want to teach on this thought this morning. I came for the water, but he gave me the well. You see, there was a time I needed some water in my life, and I was thirsty, and I was dipping it down into everything this life and this world had to offer. And each time when I came up, you know what I came up with? I came up empty. And somebody today is in here searching out through the things of the world, and they've been doing it for a long time. And each time they go back, and they go back again, and they go back one more time, and each time they do it, they're coming up empty. But I'm here to tell you there's some water that God Himself can give you through the Lord Jesus Christ that can be a well of water inside of us springing up into everlasting life. I want us to first of all look at the one who was weary on the journey. Look back in our text in verse number 6. It says, "Now Jacob's well was there, Jesus therefore being wearied with his journey." You said, who was that? Who was wearied with their journey? It was Jesus Himself. Let me tell you, it's in this thing of serving Christ, you can get wearied with the journey. He wasn't wearied on his journey. He was wearied with his journey. There's a difference there. You see, a lot of us have got wearied with our journey, but we hadn't got wearied on our journey. See, Jesus was the same way. Some of you have got wearied on your journey. You're past the point of wearied with the journey, with the journey, but now you're wearied with the journey. Well, let me tell you what. Jesus here he was wearied with his journey. He was tired. He was worn out. He had things going on inside of his body that me and you feel. We need to know, first of all, in the church that Jesus was not, he was 100% God, but he was 100% man. You see, the scoffers today would lead you to believe that Jesus was half and half. They'd say he was 50% God and he was 50% man. But I'm here to tell you, he's 100% God. He's 100% man. And he can do whatever he wants to. He rules and reigns up in heaven. He rules and reigns down here on this earth. He created it all, and all things were made by him and for him. Thank God we have somebody that was just like us. You say, just like us? Yeah, Jesus was wearied with his journey. We need to know the importance of his humanity. You see, Jesus himself took on the form of flesh. The book of John, chapter number 1, verse 14 said, "And the Word was made flesh, and he dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." The Word was made flesh. That Word was the Lord Jesus Christ, and he was 100% human. He was made in the likeness of man. You see, Jesus didn't have to come down to this earth. He could have chose some kind of other form of foundation to lay this thing out. But let me tell you what he did. He chose to take on a robe of flesh just like you and I. And in his journey, he got wearied. He was tired. He was worn out. There may be somebody in here today that's tired and worn out, and you're just about to wave the white flag and say, "I'm about to give up and I'm fixing to surrender." Let me tell you, Jesus knows exactly where you are. You find him here sitting on this well. He's wanting something for his own life. He's sitting down trying to regain his strength, he sends the disciples into the city to go buy meat. And he's there being wearied. But he, remember that verse we read in verse 4? He must needs go through Samaria. He knew there'd be a woman that would pass by that way. The importance of his humanity. I want to say, first of all, it was important because it was for the redemption of the people. It says this in the Bible, in Hebrews chapter number 7, and verse number 26. It says, for such a high priest became us. For such a high priest became us. What do you mean? He became like we are so we could be like him. You see, we have a God that wants to be just like us so that we can be just like him. He took on the robe of a fleshly man. You say, was he with sin? No, he without sin. You say, could God have ever sinned? Could Jesus himself could have ever sinned? No, he couldn't. Because see, he was 100% God, and if he ever had sinned, he would no longer be holy. He'd never be holy. He'd lost all of his holiness. I want to say his importance of his humanity is for redemption for the people. He was our kinsman redeemer, as Ruth would say it. He was our kinsman's redeemer. He was the one that would take us and get us to God. He was there for our reconciliation. He would take our hand in his hand and take his hand and lay it in God's hand and link us together through reconciliation. Not only that, he was there for relief for the people. Turn over your Bible over to Hebrews chapter number 2 and verse number 16. Hebrews chapter number 2 and verse number 16. I want you to see this verse this morning. Hebrews chapter number 2 and verse number 16, it says, for verily he took not on him the nature of the angels, but he took on him the seed of Abraham. And here it is. Wherefore in all things it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. And look what this next verse says. For in that he himself has suffered being tempted, he is able to succor them that are tempted. That word is not succored. That's what the devil does to us a lot of times. He succors us into things. But let me tell you what this word means. This word succor means to aid. You know what? When you're going through something down here on earth, do you know who's there? This verse right here ought to come in. For in he that himself has suffered being tempted is able to succor them that are also tempted. He's there to aid. You say, I'm here needing help this morning. Let me tell you where your aid's at. It's not in man. It's not in your husband. It's not in your wife. And thank God we got godly people in here that can help. I'm right there with you, Brother Lee. There's people in here that's been by my side, that walked by my side when everybody else has turned on me and everybody's walked out on me. There's been people in this church to send me a word, send me a text, say something to my ear that's helped me down life's road, and they've aided me. But let me tell you, it does not match up to what the Lord Jesus Christ has done for me. It cannot match up. He's been by my side. He's aided me when I was out by myself, when I was out all alone and I thought there was no way out. There was one called alongside to my right beside me, and he aided me down the last road. He was able to succor them that were also tempted. Thank God we have somebody by our side this morning. And it's Jesus himself. He made reconciliation for the people. He made relief for the people. And also by his humanity, he made resurrection for the people. Because Christ became the first fruit from the dead. You see, he came and lived a life, and when he died, he was the first one out of the grave to ascend into heaven. We know he was in the heart of the earth 3 days and three nights, and he was leading captivity captive. He led the Old Testament saints up. But let me tell you what he did. It made a way for us to go to heaven when he rose up. You see, on the third day, he got up out of the grave. You see, Muhammad and Buddha, they're still in the grave. Confucius is still in the grave. And let me tell you what he did, though. He ascended up to high, on high, and he's there making intercession for the saints of God this morning. Thank God we have somebody who became our resurrection. The importance of his humanity. You see, Jesus was wearied on his journey. He was wearied with his journey. The people of God may be here this morning, may be one in here that's weary on their journey. Let me tell you what, do like Jesus did. You know what he did? He always went to the Father. Every time you get weary on this journey, go to the Father. That he knows when you're weak. He knows when you're weary. He knows when you're worn out. He knows when you're tired and you're even bleeding out. But there's help by him. You'll see the one that's wearied on the journey. Number two, you'll see there's a woman there. That woman there was a lady that was well known for being in sin. If you'll notice there in that story, it said this. It was about the sixth hour when Jesus was sitting on the well. The sixth hour. You say, what hour is that? That's high noon. That's the hottest part of the day. That's when the sun is beating on the earth at the hottest. And it's when the sun is there and it's scorching down on the earth. And we find Jesus there sitting on the well. Let me tell you, when the other women would come to this well to draw their water, they'd always come early in the morning. They'd come to that well when the water was the coolest. They'd come to that well when the water, when the sun was just barely rising up over the sky. But let me tell you what this woman was. She was an outcast. She was there. She was an outcast. She was full of sin. And she did wasn't what she would not be seen with those other ladies. The other ladies would not let her draw water with them. And I got this. I thought about that for a while. You know, this woman there, and I wrote this down. I said, he did not criticize or condemn that woman. You see, a lot of us in our church house today, we would have said, we're not going to let you draw with us because you're over doing that. There ain't no way I'm going to let you draw with this. And people would have said, they'd have, through all their laws, all their traditions, said, you can't draw with us. Let me tell you what Jesus did. He passes every boundary. Let me tell you what Jesus does. He don't care what color skin you got. He don't care what nationality you're from. He don't care if you're weak or if you're strong. He don't care if you're rich or you're poor. He'll pass those boundaries to get you. And he's going to pass a boundary to say, this woman said, hey, don't the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans? She's trying to sell him out, saying, you can't even come over here. Why are you even here? Let me tell you, I'm glad Jesus will step across boundaries to get to where we are. There's been times in my life that I thought about this. And I'll tell you a story here in a second about me and myself. I can only talk about myself. Where through my legalistic eyes, I said something crazy. I said something stupid. And I did not act on what God had told me to do because of legalistic stuff. Let me tell you, I'm just telling you what's inside of me. It will rise up in me. I'll tell you a story. One time a guy called me. He was hung out on drugs, and he got saved, Brother Lee. He got saved, and he said this. And I'll tell you how, I'm talking about myself here. He said, come with me, and let's go down here to the, we're going to go to a gospel singing. And I said, Lord, if I walk in with him, they'll think I'm on drugs. That's the first thing. I'm talking about me now. I'm talking about me. I said, if they see me come in with him, they'll think I'm on drugs. They'll associate me with that sin. They'll associate me with going and doing drugs. And God himself, you know what he said to me? He said, go. He said, go. You know what I did? I went. I tell you what, I got the biggest blessing. The guy that was hung out on drugs. I watched God use him. He come in and saved him. Then I watched him become a great Christian. Let me tell you, God sees us for what we can be. He don't see us for what we are. See, people look at us. They look at us differently. They look at people and say, well, look at him. They're out in that sin. They're doing that stuff. But God, let me tell you what God does. He looks past all that. He sees past all that. He says, look what they can be. It'd be good for us today to look at people and say, what can they be? You see somebody out in sin. You see somebody hooked on drugs. You see somebody doing something they ought not be doing. We ought not bash them. You know what we ought to do? We ought to put on Jesus' eyes and look at them and be compassionate upon them. Because let me tell you where I'd be this morning. I would be them. I'd be the first one. I'd be the leader of the bunch. I'd be the chief. And they'd be a bunch of Indians if it wasn't for God himself saying, coming into my life. We need to see people for what they can be and not for what they are. It'll change our life. Jesus looked out over Jerusalem and he looked on them with compassion. He saw the fields out there and it was white for harvest. He said, go put your laborers in the harvest. He said, those fields are white for harvest. They're ready for picking. It'd be a great day if we look at people like that. I remember a time when I was at school down in Auburn, Alabama, at Auburn University, and I'd look on people through my eyes, and I'd see them, and I'd say, they're going to hell. And you know what they do? It made me want to give them a tract. I remember one time the Gideons was out passing out Bibles down there on that campus. And you know what I did? I said, can I help y'all out? And I started passing out Bibles to them. It'd be us, do us good to look at people and say, those people, they got a soul, and they'll spend eternity somewhere. Preacher read that verse this morning. Let me tell you, it's becoming so real in my life. The book of James says, wherefore is your life? It's like a vapor that appears for a little while and then vanisheth away. Let me tell you something, church. If we're going to get our serving done, we better get it done. Life is too short. This woman at Samaria is going to find out that there would be one that would be there. She was isolated because of her sin. They wouldn't let her draw with her. Those other women wouldn't let her draw with her. They wouldn't let them come up there. But let me tell you what Jesus did. He said, you can come up here and draw with me. And matter of fact, I'll ask of you the water. See, Jesus made a request of her. See, we make a lot of requests of Jesus, but do we listen to what He had request of us? He said, give me the water. See, we're busy listening to what we got to say to Jesus and make that request, but what is He going to say back to us for the request? She was isolated because of her sin. Not only that, she was ignorant toward the Savior. She said, the Jews have no dealing with the Samaritans. They have no dealings. What are you even doing here? Not only that, she had inconsistent speech. Jesus said, go get your husband. She said, I ain't got no husband. And He said, thou said right. You've got five husbands, and the one you're living with now is not your husband as well. But I want to get to all this last point. You'll see there was one who was wearied of the road. You'll see the woman of the quest. But I said all this to get to this one point. I want you to look at the well of redemption. The well. I want you to see what Jesus said. And I want you to think about this in your own life today, here this morning. It's found in verse number, John chapter 4, verse 13 and 14. I want you to look at this, what He said. He said, Jesus answered and said unto her, whosoever drinketh this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him. In him. A well of water springing up into everlasting life. And I want you to take this thought. When you got saved, let me tell you what happened. You got a well of water inside of you. And it's up to you how it springs up from that point on. And it's inside of you. It said it shall be in Him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. I want to say, first of all, this water that we have, the well is deep. If you look back up in verse number 11, the woman said, sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Let me tell you, this well that Jesus gives us, it's so deep. It's deep. It's inexhaustible. You won't drown in it. You can jump right on in there. Let's see, a lot of times we're out toiling in the shallows in this thing. Let me ask you this. Are you in the deep or in the shallows? You see, when I first learned how to swim, I started out in the shallow water. And I worked my way up to that deep. And then as I got older, I noticed a lot of times if I go swimming or if I do, I'll hang out in the shallow. And I said, why? You know why? Because it takes more work to be out in that deep water. That's water you can't touch the bottom in. That's water that's out over your head. Let me tell you, this well of Jesus has got is deep. And let me tell you, the further you get out with Him, the more He helps out. You see, you depend more on Him than you do yourself. When you're in that shallow water and your feet's on the bottom, you can depend on yourself to touch the bottom. You don't have to do any work with your arms. You don't have to do any overhead motions. You don't have to kick your feet. But you get out there in that deep water, you know who helps out? When you get tired, when you get weary, and the water's over your head and the waves are crashing in, there's one by our side that's there to help us out because the well is deep. Not only is the well deep, the water is drinkable. You see, His water is pure, straight from the tap. You can drink of His water all you want to. You'll never get full. It's there. You see, a lot of times we don't want to drink the water that it gives us. And I looked up. I said, well, what's involved with making water drinkable? There's four ways that you can make water drinkable this morning. Number one is by boiling it. You can take some water that looks nasty and whatever. You can pull it on some heat and boil it up, and it'll boil them infirmities out of it where you can drink it. I think Jesus did that for us as well. He took my heat. He took my boiling. He didn't have to, but He did, and He made it to where I could drink the water. Not only did you have to boil the water, it can be filtered. You see, there's a lot of you may have in your house a water filtration mechanism that you put on your little spout and you pour it in and it becomes filtered. Let me tell you what Jesus did. He filtered out all my hell. He filtered out all the shame that I would take, all the sins that I would bear, and He filtered it out. Not only is it filter water, let me tell you what He did. He did some purification. You see, my mama worked at the utility plant there in Roanoke, and you know what they got? They got guys constantly watching out for that water that's coming through Roanoke. And you know what they do? They put tablets in it, and they put chemicals in it. And you know what that does? It keeps that water from being harmful. And they take it and they measure it and they see exactly what that water should be, how much chemical of this should be in there, how much chemicals of that should be in there, and they make it safe for the people that should follow behind that would drink it. That's what Jesus did for me. You see, He is our righteousness. He took the tablets of Himself, and He took on the robe of flesh, and He took that so I could have water that was pure, straight from the tap. And not only that, they said there was one last way you could purify water, and it was called primitive. And you know what that means? They take the bark of a tree, and they pour that water through it, and that bark of that tree, they'd pass it through, and it filtered a little bit, and they'd pour it in again, and that old bark will filter that water out so they can drink it. There was one on a tree one day that bore my sin and made it drinkable for me so I can get into this well. Not only is the well deep, the water is drinkable, but let me say lastly, the well is developing. Look what it said. It said there in verse 14, "It shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life." It's developing. Let me tell you what this well does. It defies all laws of gravity. You see, my well goes up. Most of the wells you see is always down. And that gravity is always pulling that water down. But this well I got inside of me, it gushes up from time to time. I was reading a story this morning about an old geyser that's out in Yellowstone Park. It's called Old Faithful. And it said this. It said every 91 minutes, it's going to spurt, it's going to erupt, and it's going to see that water spew up out of the ground every 91 minutes. And they got that name called Old Faithful. Let me tell you what. And they said the reason that water would spring up like that was because they had the surface water would come down and it was cool and it would meet that magma down in the earth and it would make that water that was pressurized, that was heated up, when that cold water hit it, it would make that water spew straight up out of the top. I got to begin to thinking about that in my own life. It said, "It shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life." Each time a guy preaches, each time somebody sings, each time somebody prays, each time somebody teaches, somebody testifies, you know what's inside of me? There's something on the outside. That's a refreshing water that's coming down on something on the inside. And you know what it does? It makes me erupt. It makes my heart glad. It makes this water on the inside of me be a well springing up into everlasting life. You say I'm here today and my well, it's not bubbling up like it used to. You can get it back. You can get it back. Let me tell you, each time somebody testifies, each time somebody preaches, each time somebody sings, each time somebody prays, it ought to be a well of water inside of us that said there's something on the outside coming on down deep on something on the inside of me, and it's springing up into everlasting life. I praise His name this morning that He's my well. I came for water, but He gave me the well. I praise His name this morning. One day I was lost, and I needed some water. And not really knowing where to go. I've been knowing about Jesus all my life. I've been to Sunday school. I've been to church all my life. My mama carried us to church. But there was one day the Holy Ghost drew me by His good grace. He said, Thou hast nothing to draw with. Let me tell you what drew me. It was the Holy Ghost of God. Let me tell you how you got in this morning. It was the Holy Ghost of God dealing with you. I remember laying in bed at night for a month thinking, Lord, if I could just get saved, if I could just do better. And the Holy Ghost drawing me the whole time. And in the front row of Faith Baptist Church, April 8, 1998, He drawed me out. He said, I came for water, but I just gave you the well. Thank you for your attention this morning.